Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Genesis chapter 24, and I just want you to kind of put a placeholder there, because we're going to read some things there in a little bit. Let me turn there real quick, and then I'll direct you where to go here before too long. Numbers, God has an order for everything in the Bible, and if we'll study and think about God's word and ask God to give us light, God will give us light, and God will show us patterns that he has in the Bible. So Genesis chapter 24, and then what I want you to do, take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians. I started last Wednesday, I don't even know where Ephesians is. I started last Wednesday on our online Bible study, a study of the book of Revelation, just line upon line, line upon line. And I kind of, people had asked me to do that, and I didn't want to do it because I don't think I'm an expert on the book of Revelation. I mean, I really don't. But where I was going to go, God just kind of put the stoppers to it and said, this is not what you're doing. And I started looking at Revelation, prayed about it, and I felt got peace about it. And I believe the Lord's blessed it so far. But anyway, I told him that when I start this thing, it may be about another 78 years before I get to finish it. Hopefully the Lord will come before I'm done anyway. Amen. Hopefully before I run into places that I don't know anything about, the Lord will just come and then teach us all everything we need to know. Somebody say amen. But y'all know that when we study the Bible, I don't like just skim over anything. I like to study the Bible, like to see what is available to us. And I don't like to come up with 3 points in a poem and then send you home. Okay. So let's study the word. Ephesians chapter 5. Did I tell you that part yet? I finally found Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Beautiful, beautiful passage in the Bible. This is where it talks about submitting yourselves one to another. Wives submit to your husbands. A husband loves your wives and all that stuff that we don't like to hear preached about too often. But we need it every now and then. Can I hear you say amen? Why is marriage so special? Why is the homosexual crowd out to attack marriage? Okay, on every turn they're out to attack marriage. Because marriage is a picture of the plan of the ages. I mean, it really is. The plan of the ages is pictorialized in the marriage deal. When God looked at Adam in Genesis chapter 2, and he said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him help. And God was saying that about his son, Jesus Christ. It's not good that his son is going to be alone. So God is going to bring him, his son, a bride. A willing bride. A free bride. Okay? You know, back in the old days, a guy could just grab some old gal and say, you're my wife. She didn't have any say about it. Okay? But God's not doing that. God is preparing a bride for his son, is what he's doing. So I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see here. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, he's talking about Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That was spoken in Genesis chapter 2 concerning Adam and Eve. This is a, and by the way, how was Eve created? Out of Adam's body. What part? I know about ribs. Okay? You know, I used to make a joke when I'd go teach about the body temple. And I'd always, you know, it's real funny. And this went over real well in Rochester. I started showing about how many ribs we had. And I said, well, I can't count mine anymore. Can't feel them. I guarantee you, I felt one this week. Yeah, I know one of them's in there. Okay? It still hurts, too, a little bit. All right? So don't make me laugh too hard. And if I would have had pneumonia the last 2 days, I'd have been dead by now. There'd be no doubt about it. But anyway, I want you to think about that God took one of Adam's ribs. Now, there's a number there. We'll see it in a minute. There's a beautiful picture in the Bible of everything. We didn't evolve from monkeys. That's stupid. Didn't happen that way. Okay? God fashioned us in a very, very perfect image. So watch this. If we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, think about that. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. Okay? And we're awaiting the marriage one of these days. If you look at, turn very quickly. Come on, fast. Got a lot to study tonight. Matthew chapter 25. What do we see there? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. That's what he said the kingdom of heaven is all about. It's about the virgins meeting the bridegroom. And we know from this story, 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. 5 couldn't make it, okay, because they were foolish. They were called, they were not chosen, okay? That's the difference. We see that in a lot, probably every church in America and in the world is full of 2 types of people, called and chosen, okay? And the fools sitting in church houses, they ain't going to make it because they're foolish. They're playing games with God. They're not ready. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? I mean, there's that picture there. I could go, and we just got done preaching in Romans chapter 7 about, and this is the Matthew chapter 25, 25th chapter of the New Testament. And when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 25, you see the story of Abigail getting to marry David, who's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the gentle shepherd and all that stuff. Abigail has her 5 damsels with her. We see a repetition of the number 5. That's another number that's played into there. Turn to Book of Revelation. Okay? You know, I could make the study of the Book of Revelation real easy. I could just read a few verses and say, that's it right there. Okay? That's it right there. Chapter 21. Okay? Let's see here. Where exactly do I want to be? Let's see here. We're talking about as a bride adorned for her husband. Yeah, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Turn to, and I'm almost done here, turn to Joel chapter 2. I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants here, but that's all right. It's what I like to do sometimes. I didn't bring any notes out here. I'm just going on old stuff. Joel chapter 2. Let's see here. Blow the trumpet, Joel chapter 2, verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. We're waiting to hear a trumpet, aren't we? For the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be raised incorruptible. It's what the Bible says at the last trump. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. It kind of makes me think that that's where Jesus told us to go when we prayed. Amen? He said, when you pray, don't do like the Pharisees do out in public and get all the rewards of everybody. He said, go into your closet. And I think Christians ought to be in a closet somewhere. Amen? Praying. Well, there's going to be a time when God's going to call us out of the closet. Amen? And it's going to be time for the bride and the bridegroom. Now, take your Bible. Let's tie it together here. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Okay? Remember that Eve was taken from one of Adam's ribs. Revelation chapter 4. And after this I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. If your Bible says someone, throw it away. Amen? If your Bible scholars didn't know who was sitting on the throne when they translated the Bible, you need to get rid of that Bible and get with some guys that had some sense. Amen? King James, 400 years ago, King James translator said, you know what? One sat on the throne. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are, that's who was sitting on the throne. Okay? Not some one. Okay? Anyway, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, boy, I tell you what, I'm liking this because I know what I'm fixing to say. Round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, second beast like a calf, third beast had a face of a man, and fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? Now watch this. The body is a temple. It is the temple of God. The Bible says that. Okay? The heart represents the throne of God. How many of you have Jesus in your heart? Say amen. He's ruling from inside of your heart. There are 4 beasts that suspended this throne of God. There are 4 chambers in your heart that represent those 4 beasts, but they also represent the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says before the throne were the 7 spirits of God. They had candlesticks. Okay, I have 2 lungs that are before my heart. Okay, the lungs is what gives life to the body. It brings oxygen to the rest of the body. The blood carries it and all that stuff, and all of it works together. The blood doesn't work unless it has oxygen. Oxygen's no good without the blood to carry it. See how it works together? The spirit and the water, the spirit and the blood, they all work together. But anyway, 2 lungs, Old Testament, New Testament, and there are 7 vascular bundles. In other words, the veins that run into your lungs that grab the oxygen that you breathe in, there's 7 distinct bundles of those in your lungs. That represents the 7 spirits of God. Okay, now get this, because the throne sat upon a sea of glass. A sea of glass. Your heart is surrounded by a sea called the pericardium. Okay, it is a sac that surrounds your heart that insulates and protects your heart. It's full of water, is what it is. Okay, that's the sea of glass. Are you with me so far? Who came from monkeys? It's always got to be the preacher's kid. It's always got to be the preacher's kid. The 24 elders are the 24 bones in your ribs that surround. That's exactly what the 24 elders did. They surrounded the throne of God. By the way, this is your breastplate of righteousness. Okay? And watch this now, because 24 is a neat number in the Bible because it's 2 12s. Okay? It's one side represents the 12 apostles. The other side represents the 12 tribes. That's who these 24 elders are. In the New Jerusalem, you have the foundation of New Jerusalem, the city. The foundation of that city is the 12 apostles. The gates that are entrances to the city have the names of the 12 tribes written on them. Okay, now I'm going to throw one more thing in here, then we'll go to Genesis 24. As soon as I catch my breath. Okay? Here's what it is. I was thinking about this one day, and I thought, well, I got 12 here, and I got 12 here. Men, you do not have one less, just because Adam had one taken, okay? You still have 24. Even though, like me, you can't count them anymore, you still have 12 on this side and 12 on this side. And I was kind of thinking, well, which one represents the Gentile church, and which one represents Israel, okay? Now, this is my guess, but it's as good as anybody's, okay? Here on the right side is always that which was chosen first, and the left side is always that which comes last. When I don't know if I can do this. When Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim, he put his right hand upon the secondborn and his left hand upon the firstborn. He switched it and gave the firstborn blessing to the second son. Okay? So here we are on the right side. Here is Israel on the left side. Now I'm going to throw something at you. Because where's the heart? It's in the center, but it's just to the left. Right? Watch this, because when God told Moses how to make the costume for the high priest, he said, make a breastplate and put 12 stones on it and write the names of the tribes of Israel on those stones, so that when the priest goes in on the Day of Atonement and sprinkles the blood of sacrifice 7 times upon the on the Ark of the Covenant, that the names of the tribes of Israel are on his heart when he does that. So when Christ was dying on the cross, yes, he made atonement for us. But who was on his heart? Where was his heart when he was dying on that cross? It was for Israel, those 12 tribes. Don't you ever forget that. God's not done with them. Amen? He's not done. He has an unfulfilled promise that is awaiting Israel. Okay? Now the Bible says that it's like the two sticks. They're going to be joined together as one. Jew and Gentile, there is no difference. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen. I'm all right. Okay? So now watch. Now let's go to Genesis 24. Okay? 24 elders, 24 ribs. How many hours? Oh, I got to throw this in. How many hours are there in a day? 12. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? But there are 12 hours in the night. Now watch this. While it's daytime in one place, it's night in the other. And right now, the light of the world is shining upon the Gentiles. And the Jews are in darkness. What's fixing to happen? The sun's going to rise with healing in his wings. And it's going to be darkness in the Gentile world. And it's going to be light upon Israel. Isn't that beautiful? I love this. So now Genesis 24. And this is a long chapter. And I don't know if I have enough breath in me to read this thing. But I want us to look at it. I may read part of it. Talk about it a little bit. Really what I want to get to is the end of it. But it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. The older I get, I understand that striking word. Amen. Oldness strikes you. Okay. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his, by the way, that blessing extends to his people that fought, that hurt. The children of Abraham, either by birth or by promise, God will bless you in all things. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Listen, I want to tell you something. For God to hear my prayer the other night, praying, God, please get this pain out of me. And for God to hear my prayer and put it in my mind that I needed to pop that rib back in place by breathing. Because I was trying everything. Man, I was twisting and turning and everything. Couldn't help. Okay, all I needed was breath. Amen. Inspiration. But anyway, God will bless you in all things. He really will. He will bless you in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, his name we find later was Eleazar, his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, he said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the earth and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell. Abraham was in the land of Canaan. And here's what he was doing with Eleazar. He said, Eleazar, come here. He said, you're my faithful servant. Okay. Now I want you to watch this. Abraham is sort of represents God the Father. Okay. And Isaac is his only begotten son, the one who's received the inheritance. And Abraham, and I want you to watch this now. It is Abraham who gets the bride for his son. When we go back to Genesis 2, you will see the Bible says, and God brought the woman to the man. Okay? God brought the woman. And I want you to think about the church and think about saved people. God is the one that brought us in, people. If we start thinking we did this on our own, we've lost it. Okay? We're not right with God. Because God is the one, and I believe in grace. God is the one that gave you the grace to repent, and he gave you the strength to repent. And he calls you to repent, and then he gave you the blessing of your repentance. But it came from God. We're saved by grace through faith. We don't have faith without the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot show up in a church service, testimony service, any other place in life, and with a straight face say, I got saved, or I saved myself, or I did this, or I did that. You didn't do anything. You had a willing heart, and God did the rest. Amen? Okay? And I liken it. I mean, two situations now that I can think of where I was in a hopeless, desperate situation. One of them was being electrocuted, and the other one was the other night, and doubled over in pain and agony. Nobody could help me but God. And if God can help me, He can help you too. I'd say God's done a pretty good job of bringing us to the Lord. Somebody say amen. He's done a pretty good job. So anyway, He's asking Eleazar, come in here. And He said, put your hand under my thigh. And He said, you're going to swear an oath to me. He said, I'm going to send you out and you're going to find a bride for my son. Now, you might think of Eleazar as, say, the Holy Ghost, or as the Word of God itself that goes out and gathers in the bride, that gathers in the wife for his son. But anyway, he said, you're not to get me a wife of the daughters of Canaan, among whom I dwell. He said, that's not who you're getting. I don't want you to get a worldly Babylonian Jezebel woman. I don't want no slut harlot for a wife. Somebody say amen. Okay? She's not to be of this world. I want you to go to my own kindred and my own family and go find them. Verse 4, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me. I want you to notice that word willing. The woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. You know what? You see what Abraham's saying here? Eleazar is saying, now what if I cannot find a willing wife in that land? What do you want me to do? And Abraham's saying, don't worry about it. God's going to send. I'm talking about the faith of Abraham. Abraham knew what was going on, and God had blessed him. And Abraham said, you know what? That's kind of a silly question, because I know that God is going to lead you to the right woman. I know this for a fact. It's not that what will happen if you fail. You won't fail. Amen? You won't fail. So anyway, verse 8, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Now I like this. Okay, I want you to look at verse 10. And here again, I don't think I'll have time to get into the whole deal here, but I want you to notice how many camels he took. Now that's not a pack of unfiltered smokes, amen? He took 10 camels, okay? What's 10 represent in the Bible? What is it always? If I were to say 10 blank, what automatically comes out, Rose? 10 commandments. That's it right there. Now I want you to watch this, okay? What was it that brought you to the bridegroom? It was the law. The law is what drove you. And when we get to the end of the story, I mean, boy, there's so much here. I want to get into it. But we get into the deal, she ends up getting on the camel. She's riding the 10 camels back. Okay, I don't know how in the world she's riding 10 camels all at once. But she's on those 10 camels and she's riding them back. Those camels, watch this, those camels were sent forth to the land of the bride, and the camels brought the bride back. The camels represent the 10 commandments, the law of God. It was the law of God that drove you to the cross. Amen. Because you were condemned by the law. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. You lusted after a woman, you committed adultery with her already. God said, thou shalt not covet. You want everything that's out. You want everything you see out on TV. You get, and don't lie to me, you get those tool magazines and those computer magazines and everything else, and you look at them going, boy, I wish I had that. And Woman's Day, whatever magazine, and you're watching TV and you say, I want that, I want that, I want that. Commercials are all about covetousness. To make us covet after things that we really don't need. Amen? Okay? But it's the condemnation of the law. You came to a place in your life, Brandon, where you said, you know what? I'm condemned. I'm doomed. I'm not going to make it. If I were to go stand before God right now, He'd zip me down to hell in a flash of lightning and there'd be nothing I could do about it. You're condemned by the law. It was the law of God, pictured by those 10 camels. God sent the law out after you, and it was the law that brought you to the bridegroom. How many of you see that picture? Say amen. A couple people. Okay. Man, I tell you what, for time's sake, and because I'm about to run out of breath here, let's move down to, let's see here. Eleazar actually asked the Lord to give him a sign, and he said, when I get to the land, if there's a damsel there that offers me water and offers my camels water, then I'm going to know that that's her. And that's exactly what happened here. He pulled up on the scene, and here's Rebecca. Now, Rebecca is the brother to Laban. A little bit later on, when we get into Jacob ends up, who is the son of Isaac, Jacob ends up going back to the same land. And who now is the father that he's got to deal with? It was Rebecca's brother, Laban. That Laban was the father of Rachel and Leah, who Jacob marries. Okay? So you kind of understand the story here a little bit. And they're cousins in that they're related by way of Abraham and Nahor. Laban was of the lineage of Nahor. And you see that when you read Genesis chapter 24. Let's see here. Where do I want to pick this up at? Let's see here. Let's look in verse 48, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban is the father of Rebekah, and he has the right to say yea or nay about this deal. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing which proceeded from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abram's servant heard the words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And if you stop here for a minute and just think about this concept of these jewels and gold and raiment. These are all gifts that the bridegroom is giving to the bride. Okay? These represent gifts. Okay? The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the bride. How many of y'all get that? Okay? We have the gift of prophecy. We have the gift of healing. We have the gift of, you know, all these other gifts that are in the Bible. By the way, these are the gifts right here. Okay, if you want a gift of prophecy, and I prayed for this, God, I want a gift of prophecy. And God said, here it is, right here. I'm giving you a sure word of prophecy. So let's say that Gary comes in here and he says, oh, Brother Mike, I want to prophesy over you. And I'm going to say, Gary, what verse is it? And I'll go read it myself. Because I'm telling you, there is no more sure word of prophecy. Gary could come in here and say, Pastor Mike, God gave me a vision. Here's what God's going to do with this church and this ministry. I could think he made that up. I don't know he's telling the truth. In fact, I had somebody do that a long time ago. Huh? There's got to be a standard. What about gift of healing? God said he sent his word and healed them. And if I can't help if you can't handle that, I'll tell you what, there's healing in this Bible. Amen? I can show you places in Psalms where it says, I cried unto the Lord and he healed me. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what I did the other night. I cried unto the Lord and God healed me. I believe that. Amen. Okay. Wish he'd have done that in my shoulder too. But anyway, that's all right. Amen. Learned a good lesson from it. But anyway, so he's giving gifts to his bride. Okay. And he's adorning her. Because the husband can't adorn the bride. It's okay, husbands, to buy your wife rings and jewelry and nice clothes. Amen. I don't buy my wife clothes. Okay. And I take her with me to pick out the jewelry most of the time. Okay? Because, I mean, I want to get it just right. I've struck out so many times, I want to get it just right. Okay? There's nothing wrong with a husband. In fact, you look at Ezekiel 16, God said exactly that. He took Jerusalem, washed her, cleaned her, and he adorned her. He put a necklace around her, put earrings on her. I mean, he dressed her up nice and she was pretty. But he gives gifts to his bride. Okay? Husbands, love your wives, back in Ephesians chapter 5, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The greatest gift that could be given to a wife, more than jewelry, more than raiment, is to give of himself. Amen, ladies? To give of himself. Okay? Greatest gift in the world. Let's move on. Let's see here. Verse 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Now you should watch this now. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, look at that word, I will go. Rebekah was not an unwilling slave girl that was being thrown to Abraham for money. She was not going against her will. This is what pleased her. Now I want to tell you something. There's not going to be anybody in heaven that does not want to be there. And I know a lot of people that do not want to be there. They don't want to be there by their actions, their deeds, their attitude, their philosophies, or whatever it is. But nobody is going to be in heaven because it, against their will. Nobody is. The greatest gift that God gives us is choice. And if you want to be Esau and choose the pleasures of this world, knock yourself out. If you want to play with the world and be like Moses could have done, Moses could have chosen the pleasures of sin for a season. But he chose them not. And he's decided to stick with the Lord. Moses, don't you think about Moses for a minute. Moses would have been Pharaoh. Had he kept on with it, Moses would have been Pharaoh. And where would Moses have been in the end? He'd have been buried at the bottom of the Red Sea. Because God would have raised up somebody else to lead his people in the promised land, and Moses would have been the one buried in the bottom of the Red Sea. Okay? He chose to turn away from the pleasures of sin for a season and chose to follow God. God put a choice. He gave a choice to Adam. Tree of life, tree of knowledge, good and evil. Over and over and over in the scriptures, God gives mankind a choice. You are making that choice tonight, whether you realize it or not. Either by your willingness to serve the Lord and want to know about him, or your willingness, your willfulness in ignoring the teaching and the preaching of God's word and chasing after the world, you're making your choice right now. Okay? What a shame. What a shame that is. But she was a willing participant because Laban, now we understand a little bit about Laban later on. Laban's a little shyster. Okay? When we get into Laban, you're going to find out we don't like Laban. Okay? And Laban has got all the jewels and the gifts, but he's trying to rehash on the deal. He said, let's keep her 10 days. Remember what he told? I don't want to get into that tonight. Laban's not a good guy. Okay? The gifts have been given. The selection has been made. Laban says, you know what? Let's keep her another 10 days. Let's hang on to her for a little bit longer. And he said, well, let's ask Rebekah. Rebekah said, I want to go right now. Okay? So she went. Let's see here. Verse 61. Let's finish this out. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels. Look, there's the 10 camels again. And followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Now, Isaac was not all wadded up going, It's not what he was doing. Biblical meditation, Bible says, think on these things. Doesn't say empty your mind. Don't fall for that trap. Amen? Don't fall for that. Don't let somebody hypnotize you. That's dangerous. Don't let somebody teach you that prayer is emptying your mind, chanting words one after another. That's dangerous. Don't do that. Okay? He was out like anybody, any of us. I like to just get out alone and just think about God's word. Think about how God's trying to deal with me. Think about things like that. That's what he was doing. So anyway, he was out meditating in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. When you lift up your eyes and see, you're looking into the future. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I love this. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Now that is interesting to me, because the mother idea in the Bible, number one, there's two of them. There's Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There is another mother in the Bible. Her name is Heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? And her dwelling place is as a tent. It's as a tabernacle. Okay? God said that in Psalm 19. Okay? In the heavens, he set forth a tabernacle for the sun. So this mother's tent is a picture of heaven. And so here we have Isaac and Rebekah, and where are they going? They're going to heaven. Going to his mother's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his... Look at that word comfort. That's a Holy Ghost term. Okay? Now the deal has been done. Now the bride has been taken to the mother's tent, which is heaven, and now they have joined together. Now they are one body, and it's now a perfect fulfillment of the plan of the ages that the bridegroom and the bride be joined together for all eternity. Somebody say amen. This is why marriage is such an important aspect of human relations, of civil relations, of society in general. When you destroy marriage, you are destroying the gospel simultaneously. Is that not what we're seeing in our country, in our society right now? The destruction of the gospel coincides with the destruction of marriage. Somebody say amen. This is why it's important. The 12 tribes, 12 apostles, it represents the church and Israel together, 24 hours in the day, however you look at it, that's what it represents, all joined together in one body in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Hello folks, Pastor Mike here, and sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation, and some people just don't know what that is, and I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.